My name is John, and I am a sinner, and so are you. And so we're able to be in this together, and we're part of a fellowship where the worse your story, the more failure, the more inadequacy, the more guilt, the harder the darker things might be, the warmer you're welcome here, because we have a God that loves us with grace. And we'll learn it from the 12 steps together. We started by admitting powerless over ultimate problems. I can't manage my life. My ego will never lead me in the right direction. That's hopeless, but then hope comes in the second step. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves, and that power is God, could restore us to sanity. The definitive history of Alcoholics Anonymous was written by a Harvard guy by the name of Ernest Kurtz, and he calls it not God. Very interesting why. And then I want to get to core belief. I want to talk about this higher power. What brings power into your life and what does not? He calls the book Not God, and he talks about this in the very beginning. There's a line in the big book of AA that says, first of all, we had to stop playing God. So today, as you pursue step two, came to believe a power greater than ourselves, stop playing God. Not God, the title of this book, he says, means first, you are not God. The message of the AA program. First, we have to quit playing God. Every problem, every alcoholic, addicts, but for you and me, all of us, first problem had been, according to this insight, claiming God-like powers, especially that of control. I want to control other people. I want to control events. I want circumstances to be just the way that I want circumstances to be. If I believe in God at all, then I might well believe him because I want him to give me control over things. No. I am not God. That's the place where we start. Here's your mantra today. I am not God. But then the author goes on to say, AA is a fellowship as well as a program. We're a fellowship. The church is a fellowship. And that little hyphen there that connects these two words reminds us that we're connected to each other and we're connected to God precisely by the acceptance of this reality that there is a God and it's not me. So the question is, do you believe that a power greater than yourself, that God can transform you by the renewing of your mind, as Paul writes to the church in Rome, can restore you to sanity? There's an author, Lisa Turkhurst, and she writes about how very often when we rely on ourselves, we will let ourselves off the hook. We will excuse ourselves all the time with a single two-word phrase, but I ought to get in shape, but I'm just too lazy. I ought to get my finances in order, but I like to spend too much. I ought to get more connected with people, but I'm too much of an introvert. And it's very striking how that little phrase, but I, comes up over and over and over again in the Bible. God says to Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Or tells Gideon, I'm going to have you deliver my people, but my tribe is the least and I'm the least in my tribe. Or God says to Jeremiah, I want you to go and speak prophetically to my people, but I'm only a child. Or Peter, cast your nets on the other side, but I tried on. Over and over, people say this, but I. Now, the way that we generally deal with this in our society, this is part of what we're walking through with the 12 steps, is to tell people, no, you're fabulous. You're tremendous. And this goes way back in the ancient world. Plutarch, for example, among the Romans, talked about how to win over your crowd. And he said, you do it by reminding them, by telling them how bright they are, how well connected they are, tenacious their character is. In the Bible, it's the opposite. Paul actually talks about, when he writes to the church at Corinth, consider what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise. Not many of you were strong. Not many of you were influential by human standards. You didn't have money. He actually does a celebration of personal inadequacy. What were you? Not much. Rich? Nope. Smart? Nope. Strong? Nope. Well-connected? Nope. And then he doesn't go from there to say, so lower your expectations. You know, don't expect anything remarkable to happen in your life. He uses another phrase, the contrasting phrase, but God. He writes, but God chose the foolish things in this world to shame the wise. But God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. But God chose the lowly things of the world and the things that are not. But God. And numbers of great Christian thinkers, writers, theologians talk about that tiny little phrase. Fleming Rutledge says, anytime you see that phrase in the Bible, then you know what's happening is it is the entrance of the divine now of transcendent goodness and power to begin to turn things around. James Montgomery Boyce, a Presbyterian preacher and writer, said, if you understand that phrase, that'll save your soul. That's the pathway to salvation. Earl Palmer talks about over and over in the Bible, this is the great intervention of God. We sinned, but God forgives. We rebelled, but God. We went the wrong way, but God. We were headed for death, but God. So the real question is now today, which phrase are you going to live with, but I or but God? And as Lisa Turkhurst puts it, you know, the great truth of Scripture is, but God, God is bigger than your but. God is bigger than your but. One T. So here's the invitation of the day. Instead of going through life today, but I can't, but I'm not strong enough, but I'm not smart. Of course. Live with the phrase, but God, in this moment. I don't feel adequate. I don't feel strong enough. I know I have messed up. I'm not the person that I want to be. But God, but God, but God. When Paul comes to God and he has what he calls a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what it is. He says that he's got it because he's got an ego problem. And so God wants him not to be egotistical. So God sends him something in his life. Now, if Paul was playing God, would Paul give himself a thorn in the flesh? No way. And three times he tries to get God to take it away. And then he writes this, three times I pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul writes, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Now see, this is step one. It's not just that I admit that I'm powerless and I admit that I can't manage my life. I come to discover that my very weakness attaches me to God in a way that strength, self-sufficiency, pride, arrogance, grandiosity never could. I will boast about my weaknesses. Yep, I can be aloof. I can be withdrawn. I can be self-centered. I can operate in such a way that other people look at me and they don't see the image that I'd like them to see. They see the reality that is so much smaller. And yet precisely at that point is, but I can't do it. But then that reminds me, but God can be at work in me. But God loves me. This is the good news that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. But God. So that's the news today. Whatever you're facing, as we're working on step two, the invitation, came to believe. This is a journey. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I was crazy. I was doing things I did not understand, of which I did not approve. But God, keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series, Steps, which is based on John's new book releasing February 4th by the same name, Steps. So if you're catching this video before February 4th, you might want to pre-order the book. You can do that at our website, becomenew.com/steps. And when you pre-order, it will unlock exclusive content from John just for you. While you're there, you can subscribe to Become New to make sure you don't miss any future episodes in this series or any other videos that we do. As a community, we believe in spiritual growth one day at a time, and a big part of that is prayer. There's a team of us that meets each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a specific prayer request, we would love to pray with you. You can text it to us to 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.